Our feast today, in some ways, is kind of the end of the Christmas season. I know we ended the Christmas season several weeks ago, but this feast has a definite Christmas flavor to it. It goes by several names. We talked about the purification in the gospel. Often it's called the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. A more popular name in the past has been Candlemas Day. And it was Candlemas Day because it was the day that traditionally the church blessed candles. But then also, when circumstances allowed, there would be a procession with candles. And the reason for the candles was what it says in the gospel, where Simeon says, this child is destined to be a light of revelation to the nations. And so the candles are a way of manifesting that Christ is light, that he is light of the world. Today, as I give my last Sunday homily here, at least the last one as pastor, I'd like to focus on something that I think is very much related to Christ as light of the world. And I'd like to do that by echoing the words of John Paul II. Words that he wrote for the Holy Year. I don't remember exactly which year it was, somewhere right before the year 2000. But he chose as the theme, open the doors to Christ. And that is what I would like to say to myself and to each and every one of you. Open the doors of your heart to Christ Jesus. Open the doors to Christ so that you may come to know him if you do not already know him. And for those that do know him, so that you can come to know him in a far deeper way, a far more intimate way. Here on this earth, we will never reach the fullness of knowledge of Christ Jesus. But we can always become more open to him. We can always allow him to touch our lives in a much deeper way. That is the invitation that the church gives to us, to come to know Christ Jesus, to open our hearts to him, and to try to walk more and more in the light of his love, the light of his truth, the light of his salvation that he has brought to us by his dying and by his rising. That invitation is what I would like to leave with you. Come to know Christ Jesus. Open the doors of your heart to he who is our light, he who is our Savior. From that, I'd like to go to another subject, which I think kind of flows, at least in my mind, maybe not in yours, from that first topic, and that is something I'd like to address to parents, to grandparents, godparents, aunts and uncles, but also to children and to young people. And that is, open your hearts to try to know God's will for you. I sincerely believe that God has a plan for each and every one of us. God wants us to do something. He wants us to pick a direction in our lives. And he wants us to pick that direction according to his will. And so I say to you, be open. If you are a young person who has not yet chosen your vocation, be open to what God is calling you to do. If you are a parent, a a grandparent, an aunt or uncle, a family member. Support young people in trying to discern what it is that God has chosen for them in their lives. And if by chance God would choose them to be priest or religious, do not stand in the way, but support them with every ounce of your being. I've heard people say, well, I want my son or my daughter to be happy, so I don't want them to be a priest or religious. As if our lives are unhappy. There have been several surveys recently, in the last 10, 15 years, that are very interesting. One of them, I think I put the book out here. Yes, I did. One of them is a book by titled simply, Priests Are Happy. And this was written by a Father Stephen Rossetti. Now, Father Stephen has an interesting background. He was head of St. Luke's Hospital. I think it's around Washington, D.C. And it's a hospital that focuses on treatment of priests and religious who are having emotional or sexual problems in their lives. So he saw priesthood and religious life sometimes at its worst. But he did a survey, and the survey was very interesting. It asked the question, and this is a survey of priests. It said, overall, I am happy as a priest. Now, of that, and I put a couple numbers together here, of all the priests that answered that, 92.4% either agreed or strongly agreed with that statement that I am happy as a priest. Now, those who disagreed or strongly disagreed were 2.6%. There was another 5% in there that were kind of neutral. But that's an overwhelming positive statement about the happiness they have encountered in priesthood. Now, some might say, well, that was kind of prejudiced. It was written by a priest. The study was done by a priest. And he just had to show that was a good thing. Well, not so. The Los Angeles Times in 2002 said in their study, 91% of the priests said they are satisfied with their way of life. And 90% of the priests they surveyed said they would do it over again. Time magazine, I don't remember the year, I just drawing this one out of my memory. But they did a survey of people who are happy in their profession, their career. The two happiest groups, now this wasn't limited to priests, the two happiest groups were clergy and firefighters. Not sure why. Those two are together. But clergy and firefighters here in the United States are the two groups that are happiest with their work, their career. You know, I think every parent wants their child to be happy. Then if you want your child to be happy, don't oppose what God is calling them to do. You may bring them to unhappiness if you bring them into another way of life. I can't imagine that God would call someone to either priesthood or religious life and make that life miserable for them. He may call them to sacrifice, yes, but to unhappiness, no. What God calls us to do, if we do it well, do it according to his will, he will give us happiness in doing that. So if you have a son or daughter, support them in seeking God's will in their life. Don't push them, but support them. I think that my first thoughts of priesthood came from my mother. who I think when I was maybe in the eighth grade simply said to me, "Have you ever thought about being a priest?" I don't think I answered her, but the question did not leave my mind. And then as I became a senior in high school, I began to really try to answer that question. And I knew what I needed to do. Now, the question continued for many years till I got ordained. But that was the beginning of it, the support of my mother. You know, our church, as you all know, badly needs priests. But I would contend that it not only needs, the church not only needs priests and also religious, the world needs them. Our world needs people who are willing to focus the world on the presence of God, the love of God, and the mercy of God. We need people who dedicate their lives to that. And those who do so will not find unhappiness, but happiness. We need people who spread the light of Christ. I'd like to add a few more farewell words. I got to go back to my chair. As you leave today, you're going to find on a table over here, and the table there in the center, and the little table over as you leave through the sacristy area there, right in the gathering space, a card, two cards. One of them is a card with a picture of our five seminarians. Take one of those. On the back side, there's a prayer for them and for vocations. The other card is a card that I have prepared. It's a card that has a picture of that crucifix on it. And the card expresses my gratitude to you as parishioners. My gratitude for your openness to the Lord. My years among you have been wonderfully fulfilling. I feel very blessed. The back side of the card, and this is in both languages, the back side of the card is kind of my wish for you. My prayer for you is that you may come to knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, and that through faith in Christ you may know the power of his resurrection, and by sharing in his suffering may be conformed to his death and may attain the resurrection from the dead. That is a paraphrase from Paul's letter to the Philippians, but it expresses very well my desire for you, that you come to know Christ Jesus our Savior. I am very grateful to you. I have been very blessed to be among you.